Athletic.
We all know what Anfield can do on a European night, and especially after the last two games and the way that the crowd is going to be up.
Liverpool's history, you know, whether you want to go back to 1718 or back to 2005, you just never know. You can build up momentum in this competition from places where you don't think you've got much of a shout.
Well, remember 2009, the headlines, basically, this is Anfield, so what? Well, so what? They were 4-0 down before they knew it.
Just feels like right now, you know, from the derby to Newcastle to Real Madrid, like this is where this season is going to be defined.
All right, Reds, Tony Evans here with Walk On, your Liverpool podcast brought to you by The Athletic. Liverpool are on the march. Two wins in a week before Real Madrid. What a game it's going to be. Liverpool have got a score to settle. We'll react to the win up at Newcastle before previewing the revenge mission against Real Madrid. To get into all of that, we're full strength with James Pearce, Kiefer O'Neill and Andy Jones. So let's have those three words, whether on Newcastle, Real Madrid or anything in between. James.
I'm going to go for trepidation to hope.
I like it. Kiefer.
Timing is everything.
And Andy.
Stefan Bajcetic's turn for that second goal, because, wow, it's tough at all, wasn't it?
Well, I'm going to go for just keep winning.
Fabinho. Alexander-Arnold wants it on the right. Salah's in the middle, and Salah plays it deep into the middle, where it's finished off by Cody Gakpo.
Back-to-back wins, keeping consecutive clean sheets. How important was getting a fast start at Newcastle? Well, actually, James, they weren't that fast. I thought Newcastle were the better side for the first 20 minutes. But I think the big difference is the big players, the talented players, stepped up.
Yeah. I'd go along with that. I think Liverpool did have to withstand some early pressure at St James's on Saturday night, and I think the big difference for me compared to having been at so many games like that this season was that on this occasion Liverpool dug deep and kind of weathered that early storm rather than folded like they did, say, at Molineux a couple of weeks earlier. And it transformed games, didn't it, when you suddenly produce the bits of attacking quality that we saw to completely, you know, change the mood around St James's in the space of 6 or 7 minutes with those two goals. So there was some early pressure, but that game was won in the opening 20 minutes before the red card with the kind of attacking fluency that has been, you know, pretty conspicuous by its absence for most of this season. You know, you think of the pace and the precision and the vision, and Newcastle conceded, I think I saw a stat, they conceded as many in the opening 17 minutes on Saturday as they had done in their last 8 Premier League games combined. So that gives you an idea about the quality that Liverpool produced to break down a team that's been very, very difficult for others to find a way through against.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't like surrender an early goal and then sit in the corner and cry as they've done in some occasions this season. But for me, I thought, you know, all of a sudden, Trent's beginning to get the ball in positions, where, you know, dangerous positions. And not only that, he's beginning to pick men out. After going for so long without an assist, Kiefer, that, you know, what a ball it was for the first goal.
Yeah, absolutely. What a brilliant bit of movement as well. I think that was the thing that stood out most from that, you know, the build-up and that goal was Trent's movement and how clever it was. I think it works really well with Henderson and Salah on that right side. It just seems to be a balance at the minute that hasn't been there all season. And I think for Trent, that was important to get that first assist, because we know, obviously, his one against Everton, I think that got scrubbed off, didn't it? Because it took a deflection on the way through to Cody Gakpo. So, I mean, to be at the end of February almost and Trent Alexander-Arnold is only just getting his first Premier League assist, I think tells the tale of the season for Liverpool in one stat, doesn't it? But obviously it also tells the tale that there is a resurgence in him as a player, but in the players around him as well. And I just thought Nunes, in terms of keeping his hand away from that ball, was absolutely brilliant. His first touch was good. Obviously, it sort of bounces up awkwardly at his body. He manages to sort of pull his right arm, because watching it, I thought, oh no, this looks like it's going to be handball. And then they review it and obviously it wasn't. And he just took the finish well. I think that was one of the main things about him and Gakpo as well. He just really took the finish as well. You know, two sublime passes to set up, you know, two really confident finishes from players that we've been wanting to see those kind of accurate, confident finishes from in recent weeks. And it feels like it's happening now. It's clicking into gear with that front three. I think maybe with Jota and Firmino back, it's almost like, is the pressure off the attack a little bit more now? There's more, or has that inspired them to really want to keep the place?
Well, that's it. You know, when you look at them on the bench, you think, oh, I better start putting the ball in the net, hadn't I? So is the top four still, well, is the dream, is it real, Andy? Because I'll tell you what, I watched Tottenham on Sunday against West Ham, and they're not very good. The teams up there aren't great. It's got to be a viable ambition now, hasn't it?
Definitely. I think Liverpool have put themselves back in the position where they're right in with a chance. You know, before these two wins, it sort of felt like it was slipping away and you couldn't really see how Liverpool were going to sort of bridge that gap, I guess. But now you look at it and is it two games in hand on Spurs? And they've got a game in hand on Newcastle as well. So they've got the opportunity to really close it back up. And I think the important thing for Liverpool is applying that pressure. This is different to a title race where in seasons gone by, Liverpool have had to pick up every single point available basically to stay ahead of Manchester City or keep up with Manchester City. Whereas the top four race is different in that teams will drop points because they're just not as good as the teams going for the title. And they will feel Liverpool coming and they'll have watched the last two games. They'll have seen, you know, the shoots of positivity that they'll have seen Liverpool team looking much more cohesive, much more together and an identity coming back, which is only going to hopefully make them panic and then start, yeah, you know, continuing to drop points. And that's where Liverpool can take advantage.
Yeah, I mean, right, we're not cheerleaders here. So we've got to talk about the, you know, some of the concerns. I mean, set pieces, James, it's a bit of a worry, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's been a familiar theme, hasn't it? And it was certainly an area that Liverpool had problems with at St James's, you know, indebted to the brilliance of Alisson at times, but also some much needed good fortune with, I think, one of Newcastle hit the woodwork twice. I'd flag that as certainly an area of concern, those defending those set pieces. And also, I think, you know, I think in general, you have to look upon Saturday as a massive step forward. But I think it's more cautious optimism than bring on Real Madrid. You know, we're ready for you. Because, yeah, there was a lack of control at times. I thought they failing to make that numerical advantage count. Where the press box is at St James's, you kind of sat just behind the away dugout. And you could see that Klopp and Pep Linders were getting quite agitated at times. That I think they felt that Liverpool was stepping off Newcastle too much and not closing down space quickly enough. And that just gave them encouragement and it gave the fans their encouragement when it had all gone very, very quiet after the red card. And then suddenly it became a contest again when it really shouldn't have been. And even, you know, even you go to that chance for Callum Wilson with what was there probably 10 minutes left at the time, another, you know, fantastic save from Alisson. But I tell you what, that would have really sent the nerves jangling, especially with the run that Liverpool have been on if they had pulled one back. So, yeah, plenty to work on. I think I saw a stat that I think Liverpool only won 36% of duels across the pitch during the second half, which kind of gives you an idea about, you know, where their problems were again. But I quite like the fact, I thought Klopp was quite honest afterwards, you know, massive win, but still huge room for improvement. And I think that just about summed it up.
Massive. So we are not in a position, I don't think we are in a position now where we can have a big mouth and say, so now we are here and go again. It's obvious that we are in a better place than we were a couple of weeks ago, but there's still space for improvement. And we have to show consistency. So next game, Real Madrid, different competition, nothing to do with the game today. We have to recover and then go for that. And after that, it's Crystal Palace. So I heard now, I said a couple of times, they won. I heard that they drew because I didn't see that result anymore. Late equalized from Brentford. But Palace is a tough place to go as well. So we have to keep going. So when you are in the position we are in, there's no alternative to consistency to get out of it. And result-wise, that was definitely good for consistency. And performance-wise, were a lot of good stuff and areas where we can improve.
There was a little bit of that, wasn't there, Kiva? It's like they invited them in, towards the tail end of the game. That's 10 men. You know, you're used to Liverpool, the Liverpool at the peak, pressing people and pushing them back all the time, or hitting them on the break with speed, but it was a little bit like tentative. Is that just the sort of the residual effects of a lack of confidence?
I think so. And I think when you've been watching Liverpool's set pieces this season, when they've been defending, they haven't been great, have they? Especially like since the turn of the year, it just seems they sort of close up a little bit and they look a bit scared to win the ball sometimes, or like they're going to win the ball. Against Newcastle, that happened again. Dan Byrne hits the crossbar. There was a few times when Liverpool players were nowhere near the ball and Newcastle were, you know, the first players to get there. Alisson, I think, obviously player of the match, but he was important so many times, just catching the ball and easing that tension a little bit on the back line, because I thought Newcastle did a great job of putting pressure on, you know, even when they went down to 10 men. But the opening 10 minutes, you know, he was crucial again with that early save from Miguel Almiron, and obviously he tips Alan Saint-Maximin's shot onto the crossbar, doesn't he? Just integral to Liverpool at the minute. I feel like the calm Virgil van Dijk will continue to bring back to Liverpool will be a good thing as well, combined with how good Alisson's been. I feel like they're getting there, they're finding their feet, but I think from set pieces, I'm still at a point where I'm watching Liverpool and going, oh no, the opposition team's won a corner, or they've got a set piece and they're going to hit the ball into the box. I'm still worried about them in that way at times. So I don't think they're out of the woods in terms of defensively looking absolutely solid. And across the pitch, I guess, you know, they should have really finished the game, shouldn't they? They had a few chances. I think Jota looked a bit rusty at times, didn't he? He won one header for Firmino, which was like miraculous how he even got there. And then he had a bit of a sitter. Can you call a header a sitter? I don't know. But yeah, he had one of them and he completely, you know, fluffed it, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, that was another good thing, because that was another... He did marvellous getting to that ball, but it was a great cross from Trent as well. I mean, just the feeling, the incremental steps. Everton were really poor, and they, you know, they swept them aside. Newcastle, not so poor, but perhaps not as good as their early form, but they're beating them. So, you know, now only the European champions next. You know, let's have it. Come on, Andy, we'll beat them, can't we?
Yeah, no, it's the obvious next victory, isn't it? Just makes sense, but... Yeah, it's one of them. It is the small steps. I thought it was a really difficult game for them. The red card doesn't really help them, because you've already got that 2-0 lead, and because it's so early in the game, it is sort of a bit of a how do you manage this for the next 70 minutes, because you're not going to keep the ball all the time, and it doesn't help when Newcastle have a player like Alan Saint-Maximin who can just go on these mad dribbles for about 3 minutes and put in 600 step overs and just make it really uncomfortable.
He never hurts anyone, though, does he? He never hurts anyone.
Well, Alisson thankfully made sure he didn't. But so it was a bit of it's a strange one, I think, for Liverpool to manage. But, you know, you would like to see them do it better, certainly. And you would like, you wanted them to go on and add a couple more goals. But I think your point before about the confidence is still there. The other thing is, you don't want to exert yourself too much, do you, when you've got this game coming up in what is a pretty short turnaround, a 5:30 Saturday to a Tuesday. There's probably that element of it as well, of trying to do, when you're in the situation Liverpool got into, i.e., you know, a man up, 2-0 up, you're trying to get through the game doing as little as possible. But you take a lot of confidence from it. I'm sure they will. And, you know, this is the perfect type of game to be bouncing into.
And you know what? They add a bonus. We're going to get to see Lloris Karius in a final. Pure comedy, which brings us to Real Madrid. You're listening to Walk On, brought to you by The Athletic.
The best word I can say that will describe this was boom.
Tony Evans here with James Pearce, Kiefer O'Neill and Andy Jones with Walk On from The Athletic. Okay, James, are they ready? Are they ready for Real Madrid?
I think a lot more ready than they looked a fortnight ago, when we were probably sat here in the aftermath of that debacle at Molineux, thinking, oh my God, what are Real Madrid going to do to this absolute mess of a football team? I think the mood has changed. I think whether Liverpool are ready or not, we probably won't know fully until kickoff on Tuesday night, just because I think it is a step up in class. And yes, Liverpool have done really well to pick themselves up from where they were, because on the back of what happened at Molineux, you thought, is this season going to completely unravel? That was the fear at the moment. And it's too soon to be talking about having turned a corner. There's just been some kind of promising signs of life and light amidst that the darkness that had kind of enveloped Liverpool's season prior to that. Beating Everton was one thing, you know, going to Newcastle, producing two bits of brilliant quality going forward to take control of that game, and then, you know, obviously the red card effectively kills it. But now, yeah, what is it? You know, it's the European and the world champions coming to Anfield. And yeah, I must admit, I think you could sense amongst the players when they were speaking after the game on Saturday that I think it's not just the mood amongst the fans that's changed, but the mood in the dressing room as well. Because, you know, there is that hope now and there is that excitement. And it's not a bad thing either, going into a tie like this as underdogs, which I think Liverpool are clearly are. I think that's something that Klopp will harness, because, you know, we've seen that before, that we know what Liverpool and Anfield are like on European nights and how the team and the stadium itself come alive. And let's not forget as well, Real Madrid have had issues of their own this season. It's not, they're not some kind of absolute juggernaut that is rolling over everyone in Spain at the moment. You know, no Tchouaméni, no Cruz. That hurts them a bit. So compared to, you know, probably from the turn of the year, that as this game was getting ever closer, I think there was a sense of fear in terms of, well, what could Real Madrid do to Liverpool? And I don't think that's there anymore off the back of what's been a highly productive week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think Madrid is a concern, because the only teams that have beaten Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool in Champions League knockout ties are Real and Atletico. And we need to, like, bury this ghost, don't we? I mean, the records against Real Madrid, they've lost five of the last six meetings, and that's, you know, that's not wrong. I know Real Madrid are the biggest club in the world, arguably, but you know what? We've got to do better against them, haven't we?
Such a great irony to this, isn't there? Because obviously Liverpool went to Madrid in 2019 and won the European Cup, and then, yeah, even around that, before that, after it, they've struggled against Real Madrid. We know how difficult Atletico have been, but it's more so Real. There's just something about them. Obviously, Liverpool have won a European Cup against them many years ago, but it just seems to be something they can't really do and haven't been able to do. And you just hope that at Anfield on Tuesday night, they can put in a performance that says, right, Liverpool really are getting back to the best, and they can convince us even more that a team that could potentially go all the way. If you knock Real Madrid out of the Champions League, then why can't you go all the way and do something special? Obviously, for a long time watching Liverpool this season, I think we kind of wrote off top four not long ago, didn't we? After Brighton, Wolves, we were kind of all thinking, how's this going to happen? But luckily, sort of how the table's been and other teams are, like, you know, haven't been just sort of running away from them too much. They've been able to catch up a little bit now with back-to-back wins. Obviously, after Real Madrid is another massive game, Crystal Palace, which is a late kickoff, isn't it, on Saturday night? It felt like all the games all season are always important for Liverpool, but it just feels like right now, from the derby to Newcastle to Real Madrid, like, this is where their season is going to be defined. And it just, there's so much pressure on them to do it and do something anyway. But, you know, so far, so good. You could just hope that with Real not quite being up to speed this season, that Liverpool might benefit from that. But then Liverpool haven't been up to speed either. And we all know, I mean, Real Madrid just get to Champions League finals and they just win them. So you're going up against that 14-time winning now, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, when you look back at the big games against Real in 2018, really, you know, we weren't equipped to beat them at that point. Last year, a series of unfortunate events in Paris, on and off the pitch, you know, led to a very dispiriting day. But Andy, are they equipped to beat Real now?
For a piece that I'm doing ahead of the game, I've watched the last four games back, or the four games Liverpool have played under Jurgen Klopp against Real Madrid. And you do see that progression. I agree. Back in that final in 2018, Mo Salah's injury, as soon as he goes off, Liverpool have to bring on Adam Lallana. And while Adam Lallana's, you know, a good player and got qualities of his own, you could see the marked switch in the game. And Real Madrid just sort of dominated them, while the game was defined by moments of goalkeeping and miraculous strikes. You know, there was still the golfing class And I think Liverpool have been getting closer. And you look back to that final and they did dominate the game, even though it, when you look back, you just have bad memories of it. Real Madrid, I think, only had one shot on target and that was the one they scored. But for an absolutely fabulous goalkeeping display from Thibaut Courtois, you know, Liverpool have won that trophy. And I think the big difference is Liverpool are getting players back now and are getting the squad back. You know, they're not now relying on sort of 13 or 14 players to try and get them through games. You look at the substitutes that the Klopp was able to make at the weekend, and suddenly you're bringing a Jota on, you're bringing a Firmino on. Obviously, Darwin Nunez, we're not quite sure on his fitness, and I'm sure Klopp will be able to, in the press conference today, be able to elaborate a little bit further on what his situation is, I think, with his shoulder. But you've got a squad now where you can mix and match, you can pick different 11s, if you like, but also have the quality off the bench. And that's even going to even get stronger with the hope that Luis Diaz will return for the second leg. But I think what Real Madrid haven't experienced under Klopp is a proper Anfield night, because obviously in the 0-0 game when Liverpool were trying to overturn that 3-1 first leg deficit was played with no fans. So hopefully we all know what Anfield can do on a European night, and especially after the last two games and the way that the crowd is going to be up, and you know, supporters are going to go into this much more hopeful and positive than they would have been, you know, a fortnight ago.
Well, remember 2009, the headlines, basically, this is Anfield, so what? Well, so what? They were 4-0 down before they knew it.
Quite a weird season for Real Madrid. They started off flying. They were playing really well through September, October. They beat Barcelona quite easily in the first Clásico of the season. And then they really just took their foot off the pedals for the World Cup, or building up to the World Cup. They do have a lot of kind of older players like Benzema, Modric, Kroos. These guys were kind of pacing themselves really through the season, and they found it hard to come back afterwards. Been a lot of messing around really for Madrid. They've had to go to Saudi Arabia for the Spanish Supercopa, then they were in Morocco for the Club World Cup. They've had lots of niggling, they've had injuries, Courtois, Benzema, key players for them, Alaba at the back have all missed games. So they've not been going well recently. Barca have kind of streaked away at the top of La Liga. But then it's Madrid. And Ancelotti said last week that you can go from playing very well to playing very badly in football, or you can go from playing very badly to playing very well. And there's a feeling that they've had these games against Liverpool marked in the diary for a long time, ever since the draw was made, really, and that it focuses it on this. So it's hard to know whether the kind of dodgy form that they've had, the really inconsistent form they've had in La Liga, is going to be a factor or not, or whether they're going to come flying out at Anfield and have everything kind of ready for this Champions League game. Liverpool are the best supported team among Spanish fans, especially in Madrid. So it goes back maybe to Fernando Torres, Rafa Benitez, Xabi Alonso, that kind of time that there's been always a lot of focus on what's going on at Liverpool. And yeah, it's gone through recent years as well when, you know, Madrid and Liverpool have played quite often in Champions League. There's been those two finals. So they're well aware of what's going on with Liverpool, of how it's been a difficult season for Klopp's team. But they, again, a bit like Madrid, maybe there's a feeling that Liverpool are likely to be back for the Champions League game, that they'll be up for it. They see them as Liverpool are one of the few clubs that Madrid would see kind of as a peer. Maybe not completely. They feel they have the kind of Indian sign over them in recent times. But they'll be well up for the game, and yeah, looking forward to it.
Well, that was Dermot Corrigan, who is based in Spain, the Athletic's La Liga correspondent. And I'll tell you what, that suggests to me, James, that Liverpool should run them into the ground. You know, you should make it a game where very energetic. Let's put some pressure on them. Let's force them. You know, they're aging. They've got injuries. Let's really attack them from the where go.
Yeah, I think that has to be the game plan. I think you know, obviously the dynamic has slightly changed with, you know, since they abolished the away goals rule and all the rest of it and going into these ties and all that. But I still think you want to impose yourself on this game. You want to try and knock Real Madrid out of their stride. You can't, you know, stand off them and show them too much respect. And I think, you know, picking up on what you said before, they haven't felt the Anfield factor since 2009. I was there that night, and that was, you know, that was right up there with the great European nights at Anfield. And when you see Andrea De Sena scoring the fourth goal against Real Madrid, you know you've witnessed something you're never, ever going to forget.
There's plenty happening to his left if he gets his head up. This is Mascherano, and here's De Sena!
And yeah, scary to think that was 14 years ago. And then, you know, they've only been back since, I think, twice, haven't they? And there was, you know, that horrendous 3-0 defeat under Brendan Rodgers in 14-15 when, you know, Liverpool were completely ill-equipped on all levels, really, for the Champions League that season. That was obviously a group stage defeat when they were 3-0 down at half-time and Real Madrid effectively declared that night. And then, as Andy said, you know, the one during the pandemic, you know, the 0-0 at Anfield behind closed doors when Liverpool had lost 3-1 away was just an absolute non-event. And I just don't even think, you know, despite Liverpool's troubles this season, I don't think they should be going into this with an inferiority complex, because a lot of the players are the same ones who went up against them in Paris in late May last year. And, you know, it did get lost amidst all the fallout and how that trip was completely ruined effectively before a ball had been kicked that night. But Liverpool should have won that game. I'm looking forward to it. And we know, you know, Anfield's ability to intimidate and inspire in equal measure on big European nights. And it'll certainly be bouncing on Tuesday.
The one thing that struck me, Kiefer, about that game in May last year in Paris was that Ancelotti, who is not considered to be a tactician, you know, he's no Benitez, he's no Mourinho, you know, he's a different sort of manager, but he flooded what he was determined to do was keep Trent and keep Salah out of the game. And basically, they offered up the left. He said, you can have the left, you know, and we didn't hurt them on the left. Do you think he'll do the same again? And do you think our left is better equipped to hurt them now?
I think it'd be interesting to see what they do. Real Madrid have obviously got a history of targeting, whether it be the right or the left themselves. I know Trent Alexander-Arnold, they sort of went after him during that lockdown knockout, didn't they? In the first leg, I think it'll be a difficult game, won't it? Either way, what Carlo Ancelotti does, obviously he's got just a mad history with Liverpool. Looking back, obviously former Everton manager as well, thrown into that. It's so interesting. I was reading a piece on The Athletic today by Michael Walker, which is all about You'll Never Walk Alone and the history of that. And I didn't realise that Carlo Ancelotti had played for Roma when Liverpool played them in the European Cup, but he wasn't fit to play the game. I was like, totally didn't know that. So his history against Liverpool as a manager, sort of, he started as a player, didn't he? So there's loads there to go at. And I think he always just kind of does a job, doesn't he? He's a manager that just is so succinct in getting his players to play a certain way. Never massively, it sounds crazy to say because he's, you know, the manager has won the most European Cups, but I'm never like, wow, Carlo Ancelotti masterclass, because I guess every game is kind of like a little masterclass in itself, isn't it? Sometimes I think he's not someone that massively you go, oh my God, he's amazing, and he really stands out. And I think that he's sort of gone under the radar in a way, which is weird to say, isn't it?
Well, he's a great fella and he takes a very low-key approach to management. You know, he's not 24/7 manager. You know, he's like a, you know, well, come 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, he's like, I'm off for a drink and a meal. You know, he's that sort of fella. But it doesn't mean he doesn't have a sharp football brain, and he does. So, Andy, is he going to attack Trent again?
I think that there'll definitely be a part of that because, you know, Vinicius is one of their better players and he's been a crucial weapon to them, and it's what they tried to do in May. But Ibrahim Konate was absolutely superb in sort of sniffing all of that out. They sort of tried to play this two-man game, didn't he, with Benzema sort of drifting over and trying to link with Vinicius while they left Valverde to do a lot of running. And he certainly can do that. So yeah, I think that will be part of their game plan, because I think Ancelotti, after the Champions League final, talked about how he wanted his defence to sit back and play longer balls. And I think that was to try and get Vinicius in behind, and it's a tactic that worked before. I think Toni Kroos missing is significant to that because of his passing. Because he was the person who could, you know, release Vinicius in behind. But I think that is going to be one of their main game plans, to try and exploit that channel. But Ancelotti's just a really shrewd operator against Liverpool. I mean, I hated when Liverpool had to play his Napoli sides, because they were just so well drilled. They knew what they were doing. They knew how to nullify Liverpool, and they made every game really difficult. And it was similar in May, to a lesser extent, because they needed the keeper to come up big on a number of occasions. But he's going to have a plan, and he's going to, I imagine, it'll be to keep it tight so that they go, they try and win it, you know, back in Spain, which is what they had to do in a number of ties, didn't they, last season? And that magic of the Bernabeu that they'll be open to rely on again. But, you know, Liverpool just need to be strong in that channel and then try and build themselves and work those openings and hope Courtois not, you know, playing on a different planet again.
James, the midfield, Madrid have got problems in the midfield, but of course they've got Modric and his age and experience is, you know, he's a brilliant player. But Liverpool, they've got youth. They've got Bacetic in there. So how's that midfield battle going to shape up?
It's going to be intriguing, isn't it? I think I'd be surprised if Klopp changed it from the three that he started with at St. James's on Saturday. And I think this will be the real kind of litmus test of whether Fabinho and Henderson are anywhere close to where, you know, they have been previously. Because I think, as we said, team-wise, this is a step up in class. It's certainly a huge step up in class for those two. I think they've been promising signs. I think, you know, Henderson certainly played his part on the weekend, and I thought Fabinho actually handled himself very well after picking up, you know, a bit of a stupid yellow card after the whistle had actually gone. As we talked about before, you know, Vinicius Junior is, you know, for me, without a shadow of a doubt, their biggest threat. Arguably, they've been the best player in Spain so far this season. And, you know, we saw in Paris when he had the decisive contribution. It goes without saying that they're bound to target that space in behind Trent Alexander-Arnold. And I'm sure something that Klopp will be talking to Alexander-Arnold about needing to probably be a lot more selective in terms of picking his moments, when to go forward. And, you know, his defensive work's going to be key on the night. We probably should be talking about Stefan Bacetic and it's going to be the biggest night of his career. But funny enough, you know, I don't really have any concerns about him at all in terms of being able to handle the occasion or extra special for him as well. The fact that it is Real Madrid, you know, making a name for himself now at Liverpool, that's certainly not gone unnoticed back in his homeland in Spain. But I just probably out of the three midfielders, he's probably the one I worry about the least. Funny enough, really, despite his tender age, because he just seems to go from strength to strength. And I don't even think, you know, that's not even part of the conversation for me, whether he should be starting this game.
This is Walk On, brought to you by The Athletic, and that sound in the background you hear is our expert team drilling down on all the issues you want to know about. Well, actually, it's Building Works.
In it comes to Bellamy, and was it over the line? It is now from Couch, but Bellamy will claim the goal. And it's Couch, right into the belly of the Barca defence. Valdés didn't know where it was. Here's Risa! 2-1 Liverpool!
This is Walk On, brought to you by The Athletic, with me, Tony Evans, James Pearce, Kiefer O'Neill and Andy Jones. Well, Tuesday, the game against Real Madrid, it marks the 16th anniversary of the 2-1 win in the Nou Camp involving Bellamy and Risa. And Barcelona in those days were better than Real Madrid are now. You know, they were a fantastic side. And Liverpool went to Nou Camp and won. Kiefer, what do you remember about that?
Yeah, when I read that we were going to be chatting about this game, I thought, where did I watch that? And I actually watched it with my mates outside of a pub near my house. Like, we just stood outside watching through the window, which was just so bizarre now, thinking back, like, why did we do that? But obviously we were just maybe wanting to, like, you know, I was still young enough to play out then and roam the streets with my mates. And yeah, I remember watching that all unfold from, you know, a window outside a pub. Now I get to watch from inside pubs, which is, you know, the great thing about being an adult. But yeah, I thought back to that game, and obviously it was the golf club celebration and all that, wasn't it? Which, you know, as a kid, I was kind of probably didn't really know what was going on there, but just all felt like fun and exciting. And you know what it felt like? It was nice to watch Liverpool, like, just continue this, like, European romance, constantly winning, you know, big games in Europe. It felt like it was something that after 2005, 2007, for me, it just felt like, okay, every couple of years, Liverpool just do big things in Europe all the time, and it's nice. And, you know, growing up as a Liverpool fan, I think that's what you've come to expect, and that sort of continued, hasn't it? Just in the badge, even if you are watching from outside a pub in Birkenhead.
Yeah, I mean, for those who don't remember it, there was an incident when Liverpool were at a training camp in Spain where Craig Bellamy and Gianna Risa fell out, and Bellamy hit Risa with a golf club. And when he scored in the Nou Camp, he did his golf club celebration as if he was swinging a golf club. I interviewed Rafa Benitez the next year, and he was talking about the incident, and he said when he was alerted to the problem in the hotel, he said, Risa come in, and he was like, boss, I'm so sorry. You know, I've embarrassed you, I've embarrassed the club, I've embarrassed myself. And he was like, so Benitez was like, yeah, Rafa was, you know. And then Bellamy come in, and Bellamy was like, I should have hit him harder. You know, it's like, he deserved it. And Rafa was going, I couldn't believe it. You know, I expected him to be contrite. I said, well, yeah, you didn't know Craig Bellamy. But I mean, that was amazing. And that was a victory over, you know, the best Spanish team, the best team in the world. And en route to a Champions League final. I mean, same thing going to happen, Andy?
I hope so. it'd be very, very nice, wouldn't it? I was trying to remember that game because I think I would have been 9-ish, and it was when I was still not, or wouldn't watch all the games, because I'd be out doing various random activities as you do as a 9-year-old. So I remember coming back and watching the highlights of it, but having no real idea what all that golf club stuff was all about. I was still too young to, you know all about those violence and all that type of stuff. But yeah, I mean, hopefully these are the types of nights and these ties that are just so romantic, aren't they? And what the European Cup's all about, and hopefully, yeah, this is another one. And you know, there's been a number of last 16 ties. We got sent sort of the list, didn't we, of down the years, and you think back to that Inter Milan one in 2008 when I think I was out and came back and watched sort of the final 15 minutes of the home game when Kaut and Gerrard score, you know, those two late goals, and then I think it's Torres away who scores that quality goal to sort of round off the tie.
It's Fernando Torres! Goal! And surely the goal that gets Liverpool into the last eight!
And then obviously Real Madrid the next year. And there's just so many to look back on, isn't there? And this hopefully is one that Liverpool will add to the list. And you know, in 16 years' time, will we be reflecting on this one?
James, you've seen them all, haven't you? You've been everywhere. What knockout round game stands out to you?
Well, first of all, I wish I was as young as Andy, and I didn't have clear memories of that Barcelona game, but I remember it well. I think, you know, we've been spoiled, haven't we? I was looking back over the last 16 ties, and I think certainly under Klopp, my favourite one would have to be the one away to Bayern, the second leg in 18-19 en route to winning it in Madrid. Because I think back to then and the kind of the doom and gloom after the 0-0 at Anfield in the first leg, and it was a bit of a non-event of a game, and you know, the feeling was, what a missed opportunity, Bayern being the force they were, you know, what a huge ask it is to try and go to the Allianz and win, and then to put on the show Liverpool did that night. Yeah, that's probably up there. That would, you know, spoil it for choice, but that would, not just in terms of last 16 games, but I think just in terms of European games full stop, that would certainly be high up on my list, probably with the abiding memory of Sadio Mane absolutely mugging off Manuel Neuer with, I think it was Virgil's absolute pinpoint long pass, wasn't it? And just that exquisite control and then the little dinked finish. And
oh, what a touch that was. Neuer's caught in no man's land. It's Mane! And it's in! It's the man in form with an away goal for Liverpool in the Allianz Arena. Sadio Mane strikes again. Bayern Munich 0, Liverpool 1.
Yeah, I thought that was like one of those real statement wins in Europe that you just know that anyone else in that competition that season saw that and thought, you know, blimey, this is a very, very serious Liverpool team. If they can go to the Allianz and win 3-1. The San Siro one in the last 16 was special as well last season. And I've also got a little soft spot for that 5-0 demolition of Porto, which I think was on Valentine's night. Because again, back in 17-18, you know, now you just think, oh, it was Porto. Why was that special? But you know, 17-18, there was, you know, the idea at this stage of the competition that Liverpool would get to the final in Kiev felt like a pipe dream. You know, and then to go there and demolish Porto in their own backyard in the way they did. I think it was Porto's heaviest ever home European defeat. It got me thinking that you just never know, do you? You know, it's, of course, Liverpool. No one expects Liverpool to really go far on this road that might possibly lead back to the Ataturk in Istanbul. But yeah, Liverpool's history, you know, whether you want to go back to 1718 or back to 2005, you just never know. You can build up momentum in this competition from places where you don't think you've got much of a shout. And especially with getting key personnel back, I think, yeah, Liverpool are in much better shape than they were 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago.
Well, it's February. It's the Champions League. Liverpool are on the march. Good times ahead. This is Walk On, brought to you by The Athletic, with me, Tony Evans, James Pearce, Kiefer O'Neill and Andy Jones. And when we speak to you again later on in the week, we'll have beaten Real Madrid. I guarantee it.
The Athletic.